This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Hello, Mark.
Hey there, Dave.
Cyber threats have been in the news a lot lately, specifically a term called ransomware. It's the subject of this segment today. Our guest is Brandon Catalan, a cyber network defense manager in private industry, also an adjunct professor in the Administration of Justice graduate program at Salve Regina University. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
First of all, little identification. What is ransomware? How widespread is that threat and who's doing it?
So ransomware is relatively new on the scene in terms of targeting small business. It's malicious code that will infect a computer or a network and essentially encrypt your most valuable files. And then it will give you a notice claiming that the malicious code has, in fact, encrypted your files, and they're expecting, or the threat actors are expecting, a fee in order for you to obtain the decryption key to get access to your files back.
So it's online blackmail.
Essentially, that's pretty much what it is. It's mostly scare tactics more than anything else, but in fact, your files are held ransom from you. Most individuals or businesses are targeted with a socially engineered email. It'll come from somebody that you think you know, or it could be very vague in nature, something like a UPS or U.S. Postal Service email notifying you that a package was trying to be delivered to you. They couldn't get it to you. Please open this file. Please click on this link to go to this website. Once you do, in fact, click on that attachment, open that file, the malicious code will drop on your system, compromise your machine and or your network. Same thing as if the email has a link to a specific site. As soon as you click on that site, if your machine is vulnerable to the exploit that's being hosted on that site, the malicious code will then compromise your computer and encrypt your files.
And it might actually take a little bit for this code to work its way into your server, right? So it's not instantaneous. So you might not even think about it. And, a couple of days later, it's too late, right?
A lot of times what happens is if the malicious code is dropping on your system, when you did click on that file or open that file, you may see some type of blank file that's opened in its place or some type of file that, has nothing to do with the email that you had opened. Depending on how many files the ransomware is trying to encrypt on your system or your network, it may take some time. If you have a very small system, a lot of times this malicious code will utilize some form of whitelist, where it's looking for particular files to encrypt. So for instance, it may only look for Word document files or PDF files or JPEG files. Depending on the size and scope of the target, if you have a large network versus a small network, the malicious code may take a lot more time looking for and then encrypting the files that it's looking for.
Now, who's doing this?
Most of it can be attributed to threat actors in Russia or the old Eastern Bloc. Really can't get into the details of the specific individuals behind it, but because of the large footprint of organized crime in that part of the world, most of the threat actors that we can attribute this malicious code to do in fact work for organized crime.
They're not going after one specific computer. They're kind of churning through a whole system of computers looking for that vulnerability.
Yes and no. So the adversary or the threat actors who are carrying out this campaign may start with a list of, let's say, 20,000 email addresses that they bought online or that they had scraped from the internet themselves. Then they'll blast out the attack to every single email address on that list. And they may get lucky with, let's say, 5% of the individuals or the victims behind those email addresses actually opening up the email, opening the attachment, or clicking on the link. For that to happen, the next step is you have to have a vulnerable machine. If your machine is fully patched, if you're on top of keeping your network and your computer patched and up to date, keeping Microsoft Windows patched, Adobe Acrobat patched, Microsoft Office patched, you should be better protected than somebody who's just ignoring those patches coming across.
You're listening to The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Our guest is cyber threat intelligence expert Brandon Catalan.
So, Brandon, how many small businesses do you estimate are, sort of vulnerable for this? Do you have a sense of how many people are keeping up with patches, the security patches that are coming through?
Everybody is vulnerable. So in cybersecurity, nothing is perfect. The threat actors that carry out these type of campaigns, whether it be ransomware or cyber espionage, they're very persistent. There's new vulnerabilities being discovered every day, and there's new threat actors attempting to exploit those vulnerabilities every day. Even if you kept up to date with all of your patching, antivirus software, you still have a chance of having a compromise on your hands. really the only mitigation that a small business owner or anybody else has to really work with is essentially backing up your data. You need to back up your data, and then you need to keep those backups off of your network and off of your computers. We like to use the word air gap. Usually the best protected systems are air gapped, meaning they have no access to the internet. Go to Best Buy, go to Amazon, check out the size of your network, make as many backups as you possibly can, and keep a schedule of it. Try to do it, you know, once a week or once a month, depending on how sensitive your information is. You may want to do it more frequently than that. As soon as that data is backed up, unplug it, whether it be an external hard drive or a server, and keep it offline. Because a lot of times what will happen is the more advanced this malicious code gets, the more targets it's looking for on a network to compromise.
Where does the cloud fit into all this?
So the clouds, many small businesses at this point figure that they can offset some of their costs and risks by utilizing the cloud, which is storage space provided by a third party out in the cloud or on the internet. The most recent samples of ransomware that we've seen, it will in fact compromise a computer, compromise a network, and then it's going to look for mapped drives. And some of those mapped drives can in fact be cloud server space. So even though your cloud or the cloud that you're utilizing from a third party is not physically connected to your network, it is logically connected to your network, meaning that a compromised machine can in fact get to a cloud storage site.
How about a home computer with a remote tie to your computer at work? Is that susceptible?
Oh, that's probably more susceptible than anything else. That's very dangerous to have on your home network because a lot of times, even experts in this field, we may open some type of remote access to a home computer and not defend it as well as we should.
One of the things coming to light recently are actually public entities being compromised mm-hmm. this way. We talked about police departments having to pay ransoms in order to get access to their files. Are those kinds of attacks increasing in frequency?
Absolutely. And I think you're hearing about them a lot more. A lot of these exploit kits, per se, are for sale on the internet, meaning that the original authors who created this malicious code figured out that it's a lot more profitable for them to sell these kits to let other people access them, that it is, in fact, you know, trying day in and day out, trying to compromise computers and accept ransoms. So basically, anybody at this point who really knows what they're doing or knows where to find these exploit kits for sale have access to them. So we're seeing a severe increase in attacks via ransomware because it's very easy to use. It's more or less anonymous from a public standpoint. And even from a local or state law enforcement standpoint, you'll never find the people behind this activity. So the number of attacks that we're seeing is increasing exponentially. And in fact, really, from a public law enforcement perspective, sometimes the only way to get your data back or to get that decryption key is to pay.
And as we wrap up, you wanted to point out that the target is not necessarily intellectual property.
Right. So with a lot of malicious code that's out there right now, with big industry worrying about being targeted, for instance, Sony, the defense industrial base, the United States government, a lot of the malicious code that's out there right now, the adversary does not want you to know that they've compromised your system because they want your intellectual property. They want to steal your data. So it's not beneficial for them to advertise that they have, in fact, compromised your machine or your server. Ransomware is the complete opposite. They want you to know.
They want your money.
They want your money.
Okay. Cyber threat intelligence expert Brandon Catalan has been the guest on The Bottom Line. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Thanks always to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.